Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
It's lovely to see so many gathered in the Lord's house, and we pray for the people that are going to be in the receiving end of those blue flashing lights, whatever's wrong with them. We hope we're not going to need any emergencies here tonight as we meet to worship together and spend some time with our visitors from Presbytery. Folks, you're all very welcome, and we know you're here for a reason, and you're here to check us out and to inquire of what we're doing and to give us the third degree and all of those scary things. But we know that's not the case. But we do trust that you'll know God's presence as we worship together and as we just discern what God is doing in this place. We're all invited for a cup of tea afterwards. The commission want to interrogate you as well. So they're going to be mingling around. So when you see somebody coming with a name badge, hide, run away. And if you have to say anything, say something nice or say nothing at all. That's the old parable for this evening. But I want to say thank you to everyone who's made this evening possible, not just for tonight and for the cup of tea that we've had, but all the work that's went on, and for all of the people who are maybe sitting with a piece of paper in their hand knowing they have to answer a question in front of the scary commission later on. Thank you for all the preparations for what happens after the service. So thank you, folks, for making this night possible. We come to worship God. And one of my favorite psalms to use as a call to worship is Psalm 122. I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And you know, we're used going to the house of the Lord on a Sunday, maybe twice in a Sunday sometimes, and maybe on a Wednesday night. And here we find ourselves in the house of the Lord on a Tuesday night. And we're here for a very specific reason. We're here because Presbytery have asked us to be here. And there is an order of business for tonight. But we're here together to worship God. And everything that we do, even the business that we do, will be worship to Almighty God. And as we worship God, we want to feel His presence. We want to know that He is with us. And this psalm, when the Israelites were processing up to the temple, the second half of the psalm, they talk very much about peace. They want to pray for peace. They want to offer peace. They say, peace I give to you. And that reminds us of the words of Jesus in John's gospel. My peace I give to you. I don't give to you as the world gives to you, he said. Jesus has given us a peace that passes anything that we can really, fully, truly imagine. But we can experience that peace as we worship together. As we sing songs and as we pray and as we read God's word and as we listen to it. And as we discuss what God is doing in this place. And we want that peace to fill this place tonight and always. And fill your lives tonight and always. And that peace is only possible because of the grace of God. Because Jesus came and delivered the gospels to us. He came and he hung on the cross for our sins. Making the joy that we express as we sing possible. And so we're going to stand now and sing a song that reminds us about that grace. This is amazing grace. Let's stand together singing to the glory of God with joyful hearts.
Power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty, and so much stronger, the King of Glory.
In his presence and pray to your almighty God. Let's pray together. Lord, we just thank you for the joy that it is to be in your presence. And Lord, we thank you for the grace that we have been singing about. We thank you, Lord, for the grace that was poured out at Calvary. The grace that allows us to call you Abba Father. The grace that allows us to pray to you through the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who died for our sins, the one who rose conquering death, the one who ascended to be by your side, who intercedes for us, who takes our petitions and delivers them to your throne. So, Lord, we thank you for that awesome privilege and the joy that we know in our hearts as we have Jesus in our hearts. And we thank you, Lord, for the peace that we have with that joy. A peace that passes all understanding. A peace that will carry us through the ups and downs and the sorrows and the mixtures of joys of this life. Lord, the peace that will take us all the way to eternity. And Lord, on that journey, as we joyfully consider all that you have done and all that you do, we know, Lord, that in our own hearts there is a mixture at times of sorrow. Sorrow because of the terrible things we see in this world. Sorrow because of the terrible things that we do in this world. Sorrow because, Lord, we know in our own hearts that while we are saved for all eternity, Lord, we are still sinful. But we thank you that that sin does not conquer us. It does not separate us any longer. That sin has been dealt with eternally, once and for all. But Lord, as we live in this world, as we seek to live for you, we ask, Heavenly Father, that you would forgive us for those sins that we commit daily. Lord, drive us to our knees every day when we sin, at the end of every day, as we just consider the day and reflect on it. Lord, drive us to our knees in the morning before we go out into that day. And Lord, we know as we come to you that you pour out that forgiveness. So Lord, help us to keep those short accounts. Help us to keep that sorrow in the minority of our thinking and our being. But Lord, let us just be full of joy. Let that joy rise within us as we live lives becoming more like your Son. Lord, we ask that we would be filled with joy as we learn more about you. Lord, we be filled full of joy as that relationship with you deepens. And Lord, we may be filled with joy as we feel and know the presence of the Holy Spirit, who is making us more like your Son. And Lord, fill us with the joy of one day knowing that we will stand face to face with you, Almighty God, because of Jesus. So as we worship you tonight, Lord, and as we talk about the work that you are doing here in this place, Lord, we pray that we would know you better tonight as we leave this place of worship. Lord, that we would be better equipped to go out and serve you fearlessly. Lord, that we would go out and live for your glory and your glory alone. Lord, we ask everything that we do would bring glory to your kingdom here on earth. And we pray all of this in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. Someone who is well known to us, who doesn't live that far away, and it's not been that long since Bobby was in the pulpit here. He did a service for us at Harvest. He's going to come now and read God's word with us and just talk to us about that word for a few moments.
Thank you, Neil, for your warm words of welcome to us as a group from Presbytery, but personally as well. I appreciate your warmth and your welcome. We're going to read some verses, folks, from 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Well, we really begin to read at the tail end verses of chapter 2 of 1 John and into chapter 3. If you're reading in the Pew Bible, I think it's 1226 if you're following in the Pew Bible, but it's 1 John chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 28 and then on into chapter 3. I think it's 1226 in the Pew Bible. Let us hear the word of God. Beginning at 1 John 2, verse 28. And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we will see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Ending there at verse 3 of 1 John chapter 3, and we thank God for this reading from his word. In a past life, I worked in a factory in the Newry area doing various maintenance jobs. One of the things some employees were into was visiting fortune tellers. That was a popular weekend activity in that part of the world in the 70s. And so on Monday mornings, stories were shared. Some were told, as you can imagine, that difficult decisions lay ahead for them in the future. Others were told about the kind of person they would marry. Some were told about a change of job coming their way, and so on. But I did discover this. If one fortune teller didn't say something the person wanted to hear, Then they kept visiting fortune tellers until they did hear something they wanted to hear. Friends, as we look for a few moments at the first three verses of 1 John chapter 3, there are no mind games, no wild guesses about who we are or what the future holds. There's much here to encourage us and to help keep us going in our faith. First, let's notice who we are as we put our trust in Jesus. Verse 1 says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. As a result of God's love for us, as a result of God's grace towards us, we become part of His family in the fullest and most meaningful way possible. By nature, we are creatures of God because God is our creator. By grace, we become children of God. And that is what we are, as if to underline the point. Think of it this way. Some young people count it a privilege to belong to a good school. A soldier may count it a privilege to belong to a famous regiment. Others count it a privilege to belong to some club or organization. Some count it a privilege to live in a certain area. We can have no greater association in life than with God. And to be called children of God should encourage us and assure us and affirm us. What we are, children of God. And we are children of God as a result of the love of God, the amazing love of God for us. When we were unlovely, God loved us. When we were more interested in ourselves than God, still God loved us. In fact, when God was not much on our radar at all, we were on His. What we are, children of God. And it's not presumptuous to claim to be children of God, because it's a perfectly good and usable biblical term or phrase for all who believe. We find the same idea put more simply in John's Gospel, chapter 1 at verse 12. You will know the verse well, because there we read, "To all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become the children of God." What we are, children of God. Second, what we will be. The emphasis in verse 2 is on what the children of God will be in the future. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him. The reference here, of course, is to the time of Christ's return for His church. If you like, having spoken of the present dignity as children of God, John then speaks of our future destiny and tells us a bit more about what that will mean. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when He appears, we will be like Him. Privileged opportunities in this life are within the reach of all who trust Christ and abide in Him. But with that, we can have expectations about the future, about the world to come. The debate for in or out of the European Union kicked off yesterday for real. At this point in time, no one on earth knows what the outcome will be. There's just so much uncertainty at this stage about the future with regards to the UK within the EU. Folks, there's no uncertainty about what the future holds for believers and therefore the church. With confidence, we can have the expectation that when He, Jesus, appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. What we are, children of God. What we will be, we will be like him. Can I pause here for a moment and suggest that such a grand future expectation has to have some bearing on the present with regards to growing in our relationship with God and with regards to the witness we bear in our homes and in congregational life and within our communities. What we are, children of God, what we will be like him. And third, what we should do. You see, the Apostle John doesn't stop at what we are and what we will be. Exciting and all as these are, in verse 3, he tells us what we should do. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Notice that purifies is in the present tense, which implies a continual process. I suggest to you that the clearer we see Jesus, the closer we get to Jesus, the closer we allow him to get to us, then the more like him we will be. And surely this must be the every Christian's desire and goal, to become more like Jesus, to be less influenced by the world and more impacted by Christ. And let's not measure our purity against other Christians. Because, if we look hard enough, we can always find someone who has messed up more than we have. Christ is our example. He is our standard. Likeness to him is our aspiration, our ambition, our objective. Friends in Trinity Grey Abbey, a quick look at your church website lets me know that there's a lot going on here for Jesus amongst children and young people and adults. And we commend you for your prayerfulness and service that so many are involved in. In the midst of all you do presently and hope to do in the future, please pause from time to time, individually and collectively, and remember and enjoy who you are, children of God. Remember, too, what you one day will be like him, in the light of which we purify ourselves. We work at our relationship with Jesus so as to grow in likeness to him, which is of greatest importance. Who we are, children of God, what we will be like him. In the meantime, we purify ourselves. We work at doing Jesus to the praise of his name. Amen.
Thank you, Bobby, for those words. We're going to sing again. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. It's the only source for any energy that will be of any use to his kingdom. So let's all stand together and sing. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong you grow weary, you're
and I give a short presentation. He keeps telling me to have short sermons, and that doesn't work, so I hope this is going to be a short presentation on the life and the work of the congregation here. But just before George comes up, let's just pray and give God the glory and thanks for what we've done so far. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we can sing to you, that we can pray to you, we can hold your word in our hands, and we thank you for the message that we've received from it, Lord. And we ask you would now continue with us as we look at what you're doing here in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As Neil says, I have been asked to give a summary of what Trinity does and do in the life of our church here in Gray Abbey. And really, I want to focus on our mission statement. A welcoming, Christ-centered church, worshiping and serving God in the community. Do you know, we have many focuses and many things going on in our church. And the best thing is what our main focuses are. But before I go into that, shouldn't be going like that. But our main focus is, that you see in that slide, is that God is at the center of everything. And that is a must. And that is something that we strive to do. No matter what we do, God has to be at the center of everything. And the main focuses of our church is worship services, evangelism, discipleship, committee, the ministries, fellowship, mission, and prayer. And all of them are subdivided once again. And if you read all of that, you'll have more than eyesight than I would have. Back again? No. Well, yes, there we are. So that is... I'm not used to that technology. So all of them, all in the red, are the ministries that we have, right from badminton to the women's fellowship, to men's, to craft clubs, to Vibe, and all of that. Committee is divided into subcommittees of finance, building, events, and IT. And the prayer is divided into TAP and the prayer ministry team. And there's too many to mention, so as Bobby did say, we are a busy church. But busy in the sense that we are glorifying God, and God is at the center of everything. But I want to describe it more fully to you in our mission statement. A welcoming church. And what does it look like at Trinity? A few years ago, we changed our welcome to a welcome team ministry. It used to be the committee and the session did the welcome at the doors on a Sunday. So we changed it so that it would be just people that are gifted in welcoming. You know, every one of us have a God-given gift, and some of them are for welcoming, some are for other things. So we sourced out people that has a gift for welcoming. So they're on the doors Sunday by Sunday. We have three teams of welcome teams and going on a monthly rota. Do you know, it's a well-known fact that people make the first impressions maybe within 30 seconds coming into a building. So that welcome is very, very important. And we find it a great source that we have the people there to give that warm welcome. But the welcome isn't just for the welcome team to give. It is an all congregation welcome. When people or strangers come in or new ones come into our congregation, it is lovely to see the congregation that sit in the pews behind them or the people that's going in and asking who they are, where they're from, and what about them. That is a family congregation which we endeavor to be and are. We are very fortunate that we have a large age group, right from the very youngest to the middle age and to those of us who maybe are just not so young anymore. And we have a family, just a family feeling, which we endeavor to work at and to continue to grow. Of course, we have to have a welcome which is comfortable for everybody. So there's training given continually each year on fire risks for health and safety and for child protection. So everybody is comfortable and everybody is safe in our care. Of course, our halls give a very warm welcome with our new suite of halls. That is a welcome to outside our community and to further afield. And also Solid Ground, which has opened up, our cafe has opened up every Tuesday morning, gives that sense of a welcoming church to the community. Christ-centered and spirit-filled. What does that look like at Trinity? And we take great emphasis on that we have to be Christ-centered and we have to be spirit-filled. We have to listen to the Holy Spirit. And if we don't listen to the Holy Spirit, we will go off on our own agenda. And without doubt, we will go off on the wrong agenda. But if we listen to the Holy Spirit, we are going on His agenda, which is vitally important for any congregation. Prayer, we put great emphasis on prayer. And recently, 14 of our church members attended the prayer ministry course. And we have a prayer ministry team, and we're developing that further so that people within our congregation are comfortable to pray with each other and for each other. Now, that has taken a long time to get to that stage, and we're not there yet, but we're working at that. Do you know, if somebody looks at somebody being prayed for, they're always saying, I wonder what's wrong with them. And we have to instill in people that it's not just when you're in trouble to pray, but you have to pray when you're joy and give thanks to God. And that's what we are trying to instill in the congregation, that people will enjoy praying, to be prayed for, and to be prayed with. We've also tap each other Wednesday night, where people of the congregation can come and pray for different aspects of our church. So what does Christ-centered and spirit-filled look like? Well, it looks like that we have a duty to introduce God into people's lives. We can do that through our services, through the preaching and teaching here on a Sunday. We can also do that through Christianity Explored, which has been running now for eight years. We can do it through Youth Alpha and Connect, introducing young people to God. And many people have come to faith within this church over a large number of years, and we give God thanks. It's nothing that we do. We're being used just as a tool of an instrument and allowing God to work in and through us. But it's all right bringing people to faith, but we don't want to let them just go by themselves. We have to disciple them. And that's our previous minister, Anil, is very, very strong in that people need discipled and to grow in their faith. You know, looking over our mission statement in 2009, our mission plan was to start discipleship groups. And I think at the very start, we had six maybe interested in discipleship groups, and so it's one group. Today, we have 11 catering for 95 people, which is great for our size of congregation. Here on the Sunday morning, we have 180 to 200 people worshiping. Half of them are meeting every other Wednesday night to open up God's word, to maybe nitpick Neil's sermon in the previous Sunday, or else just open up God's word to see what God is speaking to them. In comfortable surroundings, there's seven of them in homes and four in our church halls from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for discipleship groups. Of course, Christ-centered and spirit-filled has to be in all our organizations and ministries so that people, no matter come through our doors, know that we are Christ-centered and spirit-filled. And we have to lift that in all of our days here. Worshiping. You know, if you say, what does worship mean to many people, it would be on a Sunday morning coming to church. And yes, we do worship our mighty God in a Sunday morning in a bright, vibrant, and meaningful way. You know, our Sunday services here on a Sunday is almost full and sometimes overflowing. That has caused maybe some difficulties in that we had to think about getting more space. And commission and the presbytery has given us permission to add more pews into our church building. But worship isn't just here on a Sunday. As Neil told us a few weeks ago, it is a 24/7 job. And we instill that people that are strong Christians within our church building, in our church congregation, to go out and live their faith out in the community, that people can see God in them and working through them 24/7. Do you know, we are blessed here in Trinity to have, as I said, a wide range of ages. And we are blessed because the numbers that come to us as a family, you know, they're very young, the husband and the wife worshiping together, a family worshiping together in God's house. You know, we're very fortunate that we have a large number in creche, we have a large number in madhouse. Sorry, the commission of madhouse is our Sunday school, really, but it is mad maybe sometimes. And then we have Vibe, which is a vibrant youth organization and our young adults. Serving church. Our organizations and ministries couldn't take part without the dedication of many, many leaders within our congregation. And we are thankful that we have committed leaders and helpers throughout our organizations and our congregation. Of course, if you think of serving, you think of mission. And mission is really starts in the pew and goes outwards. You know, mission isn't necessarily overseas. It is overseas, but it starts where you're sitting at. It starts where you're sitting beside. So really, we support annually, and this year, in the last summer months, we had more people going on mission teams than ever before. And it's lovely that the congregation can support them through prayer and through some financial help. Of course, this year, another great opportunity we have is make a connection with a church in Zadar out in Croatia. And it is our prayer that two teams from this church will be going out, one to do the manual work and also another one to do a holiday Bible club, to get alongside the people in that church to help them to evangelize the people in Croatia. Of course, as I said, we can go outside and be a church. And we take this opportunity and many times to go outside and to go show God's love to people through their catering, through the fun on the farm at Curry's, or through the traction engine rally at Rosemount, or through the car parking at Mount Stuart. But our halls, as I said, which were finished in 2012, has been a great source of a tool for us to reach our local community. Do you know, if you're looking in our halls, it was by no chance that we put a big glass front on it. It is not for us to see out. It is for our community to see on us, so that they see what we're doing, rather than see closed doors and wondering, I wonder what goes on behind there. They will see us walking about and see what's going on. And we have seen many, many people coming through our doors that wouldn't have been coming through if we hadn't have took that step of faith in building our halls. And really, it was a step of faith. And gosh, has it not paid off. God has been faithful to us because we are faithful to him. You know, because of that, we have Swimming World coming in every week. We have the bird watchers in, we have Healthy Living, and we have elders conference held within our building. A great source of outreach into the community, and really gives us an opportunity to connect with people that we wouldn't have a chance to connect with. You know, we live in an age of visual, and just for a few moments I want to put it in picture form of what we are in Trinity goes on in the life of it. For Jesus. You know, Commission, we are not a perfect church. We're far from it. But what we are a work in progress. And what we endeavor to be and do is what the Word says up there, is worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Thank you very much, George. There was a lot of photographs there, and I realized that they're all from the last year. There's not many historic photographs there, but thank you very much for that. We're going to go now for a cup of tea, but before we go, I'm just going to ask John to come, moderator of presbytery, and close with a word of prayer and benediction. And I just want to say, please don't make your way out around for a cup of tea. Just go through the door at the side here, and we'll have a cup of tea. And I'll probably make a little announcement around 20 past, Colin, asking the committee in session to move to the upper room, so that gives 10 or 15 minutes to have a cup of tea before we want to stay faithful to time. The last one, you were there at 10:30. You'll be lonely tonight at 10:30, if that's the case. So we'll close in prayer, and then we'll move in for a cup of tea. Thank you.
Let's pray together. Father God, as we have met here tonight as your children, we thank you for your blessing upon us. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this place. It's very evident what you are doing by the power of your Holy Spirit in answer to the prayers of your people. And so we ask you, Lord, to be with us and bless us now as we share together in fellowship. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us this night and forevermore. Amen.